We actually finished on time. That was great. To get out of here a little late and get that done on time. So. Trickling in. We do have a couple people here from Don Murray's huddle, right? Nobody? Not a soul from Don Murray's huddle in this room. Somebody want to go check? So it's Herb, okay, are y'all done? All right, good. I was going to send somebody to check on Don. So anyway, we're good. All right. I didn't tell you when to come back. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Okay. Hey, couple of announcements here, and hopefully they'll head on in pretty soon. But our friends in Open Gym tonight were so appreciative of those sandwiches and cakes. It was really sweet when the three or four of us went and walked those down there to those guys. So thank you for that wonderful idea. Thank you for your overwhelming support of doing that. It was a blessing, and I walked down there a little bit later taking some stuff down to the kitchen, and Tony Rudel's in there taking what's even left over from that and putting it in Ziploc bags so they can take it home when they head out. So they were very, very appreciative of that. So, hey, I know that some of you here tonight signed up just for the fall portion of our Bible study. Some of you had different commitments in the spring and things like that. And for those of you who are in that boat, I know some of you, this was your first time in the study who were in it. I just want to say just how wonderful it was to have all of you in this study this fall. And if your situation changes in the spring, the doors are always open. Glad to have you back, not just in the spring, but next year and other times that we have Bible studies like this at Wake Crossroads. So glad you came. For those of you who are planning to come back in the spring, looking forward to the Genius of Generosity study and the study of 1 John, which will follow that. And bring your friends. Invite people that you know. Invite people that you don't know. Tell them to come and see what it's like to look into God's Word with just a group of your peers, just a bunch of men and women who want to know God better and want to know His Word better. So invite them to come and be a part of that. If you did not get your Genius of Generosity books in your huddle and the instruction sheet, I have those right up here, and we have a lot more than those, but those are just, by our count, the number that we should need so everybody can get one. But we have those up here. Some of the folks came in and said, hey, we had some questions in our huddle about the Genius of Generosity study and how it would go. Do you feel like your questions have been answered about that? Does anybody have any questions left over about that, how that study will work? Okay, well, we'll come back. January 15th is the first week in the Genius of Generosity study, and just have read chapter 1, and there's some kind of thoughtful, you know, food for thought kind of questions in there, 6, 7, 8 of those. Just answer those questions. And that study, if you were here last week when I was telling you about it, we'll come in here first at 7 o'clock. We'll come right in here, and we're gonna sing together, pray together like we do. We're going to have two media presentations for that study. Then we'll leave and we'll go into our huddles and we'll finish with our huddle time. So the material is a little briefer. Is that a word, briefer? I don't think so. But maybe not quite as Crossroadian, right? Well, I get away with that at Crossroadian. Okay, yeah. It's Waylon and I are tracking. So anyway, okay, Genius of Generosity study. I think I've covered that. So before you leave tonight, guys, if you have a few minutes and can help us with tables and chairs, I think most of the kitchen stuff has been taken care of. All the tables have been wiped down, so if you want to help break down tables and return the worship center seating back to like it was, we'd love that help. That'd be really appreciated. So, okay, I think I'm about done with the announcements. I think the Lord perhaps maybe laid this on my heart. Here, looking at my brother Waylon's stuff, I'm just sitting. He's got two Bibles. He has yellow highlights, pink highlights, blue highlights, red writing. And, you know, that's just some briefer stuff in here, too. That is just indicative of a lot of hard work, a lot of studying, a lot of preparation. And I know everybody in this room just agrees with me. Just thank you so much for what you do to prepare to teach us. And I know you do it for the Lord. You don't do it for us saying this. But thank you for what you do. So, Greg Pittman, come and lead us in our song, and we'll hear from Waylon. So.
All right, stand. A little bit easier now, right? I had another song in mind, and I was talking to Waylon earlier this week. He said, no, Greg, you don't want to bring them down. So the only one I could think of was Joy to the World. I thought it'd be a great one to end on the semester. So let's sing it. Let me put this up so you can't hear me when you hear y'all. And before I pray, ooh, that was loud. Rodney?
I just want to say thank you to all y'all in this season, the men and ladies ministry here. Meant a lot to even Open Gym, our outreach there, just throughout the season. We started out with just the prayer with the brothers, and not only that, just getting some of y'all to come in at times and share your testimonies with those guys. I know we had to work through that with our church. And I've seen a huge difference in the guys. Just a quick testimony. I won't take a lot of y'all times here, but I know even in those moments, those guys actually were getting up and saying, wow. And they said, why don't more people share? We want to hear more of their testimonies from this church. And I know that even on that night, they were just popping up like flies. And for the ones that were sharing their testimonies, they were saying, man, what you just said to me, that's where I am. And it wasn't, you know, I shared with them, like, I think this is our ninth year. But just to see them raise their hand and step forward and says, man, you know, this person I never heard, seen before, met. And they shared this, what they shared with me tonight has touched my heart. So I just thank y'all for that. And not only that, the food y'all just made there last night. I know we kind of took over y'all's gym. It was a little bit miscommunication, but that y'all allowed for them to just have their last night, and y'all just made it that more special. I made them aware. I said, hey, we could have got kicked out of here tonight, but they allowed us to be here. And then when y'all showed up with all that food and everything else, they just, I think they're just stomped. They feel the church and the community. I think Dr. Urie, he asked the question of what effect would this church have on our community if it didn't exist. I think definitely with these two ministries on Monday night, they would miss it. They would miss it. So I want to hold y'all any longer. I just want to say thank you. They thank you. They rave on about it. But feel free to share with them. Sometimes I know they don't know if they should talk to you or if you want to talk to you, but it's a little nervous. I encourage y'all just go ahead and break that barrier. It'll blow their mind. All right. Thank you.
And one more commercial break. And if you don't have a church home or your church home doesn't have a Christmas musical going on, we have one going on Saturday night, 6 o'clock, and then both services Sunday. So we'd love to have you. Let's pray. Father God, as we just sang, Lord, about the wonders of your love, Lord, we just stay in awe that you loved us enough, Lord, as we think about it this time of the year, especially that you sent your only son. Lord, that's a feeling we never get over. Father, I pray, I'm glad lives were touched tonight by just a simple act of kindness. Lord, I pray that we will seek other opportunities, Lord, as a Monday night ministry group, Lord, and just as individuals as we go about this season, Lord, just to make a difference for you, Lord, and just to point people to you and give you the glory. Father, as Waylon finishes up Colossians tonight, Lord, just pray that you will continue to fill him, Lord, with the Spirit, that his words will penetrate each of us where we need to hear it tonight. These things we pray in your son's precious name. Amen.
Good evening. It was a good time we had tonight in the social, and breaking bread together as brothers and sisters in Christ is always a good time. Anytime we get to eat, it's a good time. But I would just want to thank Kenny and Deborah and all those that pitched in on getting all that stuff. What a blessing that was. Just I appreciate all y'all did in that. It is TGIM, and it's TGIM for the last time of 2017. We probably won't do that again until 2018, unless a special session is called. I don't know. You know, that could happen. Who knows? So, but before we kind of get started tonight, I did want to have a special session. I think we have become a family, and you always become a family no matter what the group or the setting is. But someone in our setting or group had a birthday yesterday, and so I thought we would sing happy birthday to a lady named Billy Broughton, who attends our Bible study. And it's today? I'm sorry, I thought it was yesterday. Okay, and now I am confused. Billy, which one was it? These two ladies on the side, I know, which was it, today or yesterday? Oh, thank you, Billy. Okay. She was born that day. She ought to know now. You got to go to the source. And we actually have someone in here who's I went to school with Billy, and he kind of reminded us tonight that, you know, she's a little older than he is. He turns her age this coming week. So, you know, that got that straight. But I wanted us as a family to sing happy birthday to Billy. Now, first thing I'm going to do,
I'm going to flip that off. Unless you want to come up here, Greg. So, I will start 1, 2, 3, and we will go, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Billy. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, and I just want to share something else with you. Billy modeled Christ yesterday. Right, because that's really kind of what we're talking about tonight. You know, Paul's still in that process of teaching us how to model Christ. And she modeled Christ yesterday. As I pulled out of the parking spot yesterday where I was parked in and started backing up, Charles Register came up to me and said, hey. And he started talking about something he wanted to know, you know, thought our class could be a part of or whatever. And we're standing there talking. Well, I was blocking the way out of the parking lot. You know, and some people started backing up. So I backed up. I just backed up over the curb into, you know, up into a few of the bushes and trees and just sit there. It's just what firemen do. We're not scared. You know, sometimes there's a fire truck. And I put in park, and me and him commenced to talking. Well, the next thing you know, here comes Billy riding by, and she stops. And she says, are y'all all right? Do y'all need some help? You know, that she was just modeling Christ. She was, nobody else was willing to help us, you know, help me in that, you know. But it wasn't any trouble, you know. So I appreciate that, Billy. That was mighty kind of you to do that. I know, yeah, you were the good Samaritan. You stuck. You were looking to help me. I appreciate that. But we are finishing up our study of Colossians, and what a blessing it's been to me to just dig deeper into God's Word and let God's Word speak to me as I know it has to you. And I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas with family, and we look forward to coming back and beginning the second part of our study next year. Paul really, for these Colossian saints last week, just kind of review what we talked about last week, he told them to put on that new man or that new person that they were in Christ. And really, that's the same for us. He says, you know, your life is in Christ. Therefore, model Christ, just like Billy did. Model Christ every day. You know, he talked about the meekness and the kindness and the humility and the forgiveness and the tender mercies, that these things model Christ. That's what we're to do as Christians. He told them that. And most important, he spoke of above all of them, that the most important thing was, he go back into Colossians 3:14, he says, was the putting on of love, because that was the bond of perfection. And so he reminds us to do that too. And Paul's letter about putting on love last week and the means of modeling Christ, he also spoke about relationships. You model Christ in your relationships, the relationship between a wife and a husband, the relationship between children and their parents, a relationship between co-workers and employees, or he said slaves and masters, but also you model Christ in words and deeds. So Paul really is laying out for those saints in Colossae what they should do to model Christ and how to do it. And so Paul closes his letter this week, our study, with really those people. When we look at chapter 4, he talks about those people who modeled Christ well. He speaks of some names there, and he kind of emphasizes, hey, these are people who have modeled Christ well. And I want to stop right now, and Greg's already thanked, but I want to thank David Pierce for putting up with me. Tina said, well, people just wire different, Waylon, but I'm still on Monday. I'm trying to dot I's and cross T's about tonight. And so David has to come back and get all this stuff ready for up here when I call him at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. So I just thank you, David, for putting up with me. You're always so kind. I know you want to say, why can't you be ready on Saturday night? Why can't you give it to me Saturday night? Or Sunday maybe even, huh, Dave? Or maybe early Monday morning. So I appreciate you, brother. I really do. And the job that all you guys do back there, Clayton and Mike, what a great job you do. But the title tonight is The Loved Brothers and Sisters. That, you know, that's what Paul speaks of here, those who are beloved brothers and sisters who modeled Christ. And I really didn't go with a quote tonight. I went with a song that we used to sing all the time in the church. And the name of the song is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And if you look at the words, let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. That's verse 3 of that song. And Craig, matter of fact, he spoke of, we may be singing that song before long, but we used to always sing that song. And really, that's what Paul had for these saints, that Christ was their all in all, and they were to put on the truth of who they knew Christ were. Remember, Paul had to deal with some of the heresies that they had were being pushed on these saints. And Paul says, you know, knowing Christ for who he is and who you are in him, it makes him, as he spoke of, he is the Lord of all and in all. The whole point of that is, this is the reason, same reasons for us too. We're to crown him the Lord over all of our lives. Not just part of our lives, not just when we're here on Monday night, or not just when we're here on Sunday, but over all our lives. And Paul continues in chapter 4 telling us what Christians should do in this first part. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, really just going to read 1 through 4 to start with, and look at what Paul continues to tell these Christians what they should do, and also how we're to really relate to others. That's what he's talking about here. Starts off in verse 4, and I'm reading from Living Letters, probably a little different from what you're looking at. You slave owners must be just and fair to all your slaves. Always remember that you too have a master in heaven who is closely watching. The reason you see Paul kind of address the slave master issue there really deals with Onesimus. Onesimus is a slave Onesimus ran from his owner, which was Philemon. We studied that. We read that. Supposedly, according to some of the stuff that I read and whatever, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong because you read it, but Onesimus may have the letter that's going back to Philemon as well as this letter coming to Colossians. So, you know, that is being delivered. So Paul's kind of also giving a chance for Philemon to hear this, because Philemon and Paul were brothers in Christ, but now he's telling also that I'm sending back Onesimus to you, who now is a brother in Christ just like you and I were. So that's why he kind of, you know, he touches base on that as much as it was just the issue of the slaves and masters during that time. Verse 2, don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answers and remember to be thankful when they come. Don't forget to pray for us too, that God will give us many chances to preach the good news of Christ, for which I am here in jail. Pray that I will be bold enough to tell it freely and fully and to make it plain, as of course I should. We see here Paul asked for these Colossian saints to pray for him. Paul says, pray for me. And I love what particularly Paul asked him to pray for him for. For him to share the gospel in a way that people would understand. Now, can you imagine Paul asking somebody, pray for me that I would share the gospel as I should? Paul wasn't scared about sharing the gospel with anyone. He stepped right up and do it. But here he knows that, you know, he needed that prayer. And he asked, he says, keep at it. Be devoted. Be vigilant. Be thankful for when God answers our prayers. And so we see him ask for prayer. And really, that's what we as Christians should do. We should ask others to pray for us. Not be ashamed to ask others to pray for us. And when we think about modeling Christ, how did Christ model prayer? Christ is our model. Did he give us a model? Sure he did. I'm going to give you the model I really like of Christ giving prayer. A lot of times we can think about the Lord's Prayer. Well, that prayer was really for us. That was for us. Christ didn't have sins he needed to be forgiven for. That prayer was for us as God's children. Here's the model that Christ gave us in Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, long before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. What a model. Here is Christ, God himself, yet also man. He goes and falls before the Father in prayer. There's our model right there. That's what Paul is asking for here. Paul's saying, I need your prayer. I need you to keep at it. I need you to be devoted, vigilant, and be thankful. And so, really, this was in Paul's living letter. He's saying, pray for me and pray for all of us who are here that are in prison. Pray that we will share the gospel and share it in a way that people will understand. And he says, and be bold about it. And I thought about, you know, I talk about the living letter that Paul is written in all his letters. And I was reminded, God blessed me with a living letter from our pastor. I keep it on my refrigerator now. I don't know, some of you may have it. But I just wanted to share it with you. And to me, it's a living letter. And this is what it says. I prayed for you today. One of the ministry efforts I want to give additional time to during my cancer treatment is to focus on praying for each of our church families. Psalms 13, 5, and 6 will serve as the guide for that prayer. And this is Psalm 13, 5, and 6. But I have trusted you trusted your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In these two verses, David identifies three things he plans to do as an expression of his commitment to God. I am praying that all three will be a part of your walk with Jesus as well. So I pray that today you will trust God and his miraculous love for you. You will rejoice in your salvation through Jesus. You will worship God for the way he has dealt with you. That's a living letter to me when I read it every day. And then he says, Waylon, Laura, I'm grateful to God for you. God's best to you, Bill. That's a living letter. That's what Paul is speaking of here. That's who we are to be, what we're to be about. It's probably somebody you need to send a letter to tomorrow. Email, we can do that. Maybe even a text, you know. Maybe even a tweet, I don't know. But I can't put a tweet. I can't put a text. I can't put an email on my refrigerator. But this thing right here sticks on my refrigerator, and it speaks to me every day that somebody would pray for me those three things: of God's miraculous love, of God's salvation is through Jesus, which is what Paul told these believers. Your salvation is in Christ alone, nothing else. Christ alone. And then to know that over my life, and truly I know my life much better than any of you that look at me, how Christ has dealt so bountifully with me. That's just good stuff. And so let's look at the second part of this letter. 5 and 6. Make the most of your chances to tell others the good news. Be wise in all your contacts with them. Let your conversation be gracious as well as sensible, for then you will have the right answer for everyone. Paul, again, he's telling these Christians what they should do. He tells them where they should get wisdom. He says, walk in wisdom. Well, actually, he didn't tell them there. He says, walk in wisdom. Well, Paul had pointed out back in chapter 2 about what wisdom was. In chapter 2, verse 3, he says, talking about the Father and in Christ, he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we're going to share with someone, God has given us the wisdom to share. We're not going to save them anyway. All we got to do is trust in Him saying, yes, I want you to speak to this person. I want you to speak to that person. And then when we speak to them as redeeming the time. Because who knows if tomorrow will be the last day for that person. Or it's going to be 2 weeks from now. Or it's going to be 6 months from now. Whether it's your closest family member or somebody at work or somebody you just meet on the street and y'all starting a conversation, and all of a sudden God leads you to that point of sharing with them. Paul says, walk in wisdom and redeem the time. And then how do we do that when we have a chance, those chances God gives? We do it in a respectful way. You ever remember somebody sharing Christ with you and how they did it? Did they do it in a respectful way? Did they do it in a way of love? Did they do it in a way that Paul speaks of, that there was both a graciousness and also seasoned with salt as God was working in that time and that movement of them that person sharing with you? Paul's really telling these Colossians, and he's telling us too, the world's listening. Hey, Christians, the world's listening. How you respond, the world is listening. You call yourself a Christian? And you responded that way? The world's listening. They're listening, and they listen with big ears when you call yourself a Christian. So Paul lays it out plain and clear. Let your speech be full of graciousness and salt. What does salt do? Salt brings flavor to some things. It seasons it. It preserves it. So it's that balance. I love how Paul uses those words there. It's a balance of the graciousness and the salt together. They go together. Christ told us that we're to be light and salt of the earth. Light into the world, salt of the earth. So we see that there. We move to the second part of tonight's lesson. Useful, faithful, and love. These are the ones Paul was speaking of, verses 7 through 18. Paul's intro right here, like I say, he lists several people. How many people does he list in this section? I love that great answer, Alice. Yeah, did y'all hear Alice's answer? She took her eyes and rolled them to the back of her head. None of y'all could see that, see? But I saw that. But at least you made an answer, Alice. The rest of them are going, they're trying to think all those names. And you know what? I'm not going to tell you the answer because I don't know either. That just kind of popped in my head right now. How many people was it he talked about? But these are beloved saints. These are beloved saints he speaks of. Really, you see Paul speaking of here a who's who. A who's who of dearly loved saints. Saints who are faithful. Saints who brought just courage and comfort and encouragement to the hearts of others. They were saints who were co-workers in the kingdoms, Paul speaks of. They were saints who prayed for others. They were saints who walked in wisdom that he just spoke of. The point is, these were saints who modeled Christ, what we should do in Christ. So we'll read verses 7 through 18, living letters. Tychicus, our much-loved brother, will tell you how I am getting along. He is a hard worker and serves the Lord with me. I have sent him on this special trip just to see how you are and to comfort and encourage you. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and much-loved brother. By the way, the name Onesimus means profitable, useful. Onesimus had gone from being unuseful as a slave who had stole from his owner and ran away from him to meeting Paul. Now, you're talking about providence. He leaves Colossae, goes to where Paul is, and for some reason, you know, a lot of times when you start stealing, sometimes you continue to steal. We really don't know, but evidently Onesimus had done something and ended up in jail, kind of like where Paul was, and Paul had the chance to share the gospel with him, and he was saved. But he says about Onesimus, a faithful and much-loved brother, one of your own people. What does that say? He was a Crossroadian. He was from Colossae. He was one of them. So he's sending him back to them. He and Tychicus will give you all the latest news. In other words, they would tell what was going on with Paul and all those around him. Articus, who is with me here as a prisoner, sends you his love. And so does Mark, a relative of Barnabas. And as I said before, give Mark a healthy welcome if he comes your way. Now remember, there was kind of a falling out between Mark and Barnabas and Paul. Mark left for some reason. Really don't know why. There's all kinds of different thoughts on that. But now Paul has welcomed him back into the fold with him. Jesus, called Justice, also sends his love. Now, I love this when Paul is talking about these dearly loved saints who are modeling Christ. Where else do we hear about Justice? Right, good answer. Nowhere. The only place you ever see his name, anything about him in God's word, is right here. But I think that's a cool thing that Paul mentions this one who stood out, who was a brother with Paul, who also sent his love to these Colossians. These are the only Jewish Christians working with me here, and what a comfort they have been. Epaphras, from your city, a servant of Christ, sends you his love. He is always earnestly praying for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect and to help you know his will in everything you do. I can assure you that he has worked hard for you with his prayers, and also for the Christians in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Dear Dr. Luke sends his love, and so does Demas. Demas, as we saw in our study, actually ends up deserting Paul, but at this particular time, he is a beloved brother with Paul. Please give my greetings to the Christian friends at Laodicea and to Nymphas and to those who meet in his home. By the way, after you have read this letter, will you pass it on to the church at Laodicea and read the letter I wrote to them? Paul speaks of another letter. Some of them say that was the letter that he wrote to the Ephesians. And then some say that actually Paul wrote another letter to Laodicea that has never been found, or we don't have the letter. And say to Archippus, be sure that you do all that the Lord has told you to. Here is my own greeting in my own handwriting. Remember me here in jail. May God's blessing surround you. Sincerely, Paul. Paul finished this letter, and when I think about it, as I mentioned, Paul lists a who's who here. Those who modeled Christ, those who were beloved brothers and sisters, faithful, who encouraged and comforted. And I thought, you know, it's one thing take from this verse, this section right here. There's all kinds of list of who's who's. I mean, it really is. You can have all kinds of list of who's who. There's a list of who's who's now about what's going to play in some college football playoff. Four teams. They're the who's who's. Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia. See, you know who the who's who's are there. That, you know, so it's all kind of who's who's. But let us be useful. Let us be faithful. Let us be co-workers for the kingdom of God. That's the who's who's list we want to be a part of. In Christ to live for. That's what Paul was speaking of when he's talked about these people here. What's our story? We really find it when we look back at the title of that song that's under the song that's under the title. We crown him Lord of all. In the what, in the who, and in the where. Lord of all, in our word, in our deed, in the way we treat our husbands, our wives, our children, our co-workers, our neighbors. He is our all in all. Paul says Christ is our all in all. Where does Paul tell them that from? Paul's in prison. Paul's in prison and he says Christ is your all in all. In the belly of a great fish, Jonah knew the Lord was his all in all. Nahum, when he's prophesying about the destruction of Nineveh, he tells God's people, in the day of trouble, know that the Lord is good. He reminds them that the Lord is their all in all. What that tells us is that very same thing. This season is when Christ is really seen as the all in all more than any other time of the year. But it's a great time for us to share with others who is all in all in our life and crown him Lord of all, to give him glory. So thankful for the opportunity to study this word. As Kenny said when he was talking about Colossians, the most Christ-centered book in the Bible. It tells us who we are in. It tells us how we should act. And it tells us what we should do as beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. I had a song I was going to play tonight, but we don't have the ability to play that song. But it was really just a Christmas song. It's Christmas by Mandisa. Man, it's got a good beat. It really does. I don't know if you ever heard it, but if you've never heard it, you ought to just put it on and listen to it. She talks about the reason for the season is Jesus Christ. Talks about listening to those old Christmas songs and stuff. And I figured if we got going out of here, you know, it would have had us moving, but we can't play it tonight, but that's okay. What I want to leave you with is understand this. Christ is the reason for the season. He is our all in all. He is the one who did it all for the Colossians. He is the one who did it all for us as believers. He is the one who will do it tomorrow for that one that maybe you have the opportunity to share with who is your all in all. Let's close in prayer. Lord, sometimes I can't imagine why you would die for me. But Lord, what I do know is that was the plan of the Father. That Christ would be the all in all for all mankind. That he would be the way, the truth, and the life. That he would be the light that destroyed the darkness, that he would be the hope that is everlasting, that he would be the glory that we were raised with. And so, God, we praise you. We thank you. We love you for all that you did for us through your precious Son. Let us go out. Let us be the useful, faithful co-workers of the kingdom, Lord, that we would bring your Son and you, and by the power of the Spirit, glory to his name. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Yeah.
Is that the one right there?
Yeah, that's it.
Get your phone out, bro. It's buffering. It's coming.
Heaven and earth proclaim, come on, let's celebrate.